like you know who I am. Am I on? All right. Elohim Tov. Oh, that was so weak. Okay, let's pretend we're in heaven. And an angel says, Elohim Tov. Kol Hazman.
Elohim Tov.
Hallelujah. Wake now. We're going to do some praise and work and worship and finish waking everybody up.
You are way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, my God, that is who you are. Let it rain. Let it
for your revelations, Father, for your Son, for his sacrifice, God, for your peace, for your joy, for healing, for revelation, for hope, God. Lord, bless Pastor Sandy as he speaks, God. May his words be yours and not his, Lord. Help him touch every corner of the earth this morning, God. Just pour it out. Pour out anointing to everyone listening, God. No matter where they're at, no matter when they're listening, God, pour it out. You're God beyond time and space, God. Pour it out, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hallelujah. Glory to his name. Oh, we've been live.
Oh, yeah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thank you all for standing. Oh, your heart this morning. Our Father, in the name of Son Jesus Christ, Lord, we thank you, dear Jesus, for the prayer and the anointing of song that went forth this morning in the name of Jesus. Lord, we are so blessed by your presence, dear. Lord, we want to just pray and remind people to come as they are, dear Lord, that we can do nothing on our own accord, dear Jesus, but we need the precious presence of your Holy Spirit to change and transform us, dear Lord. So come as you are this morning. Come as you are to the throne of God and ask for him for his forgiveness. Ask for him to heal you. Ask for him to deliver you. Ask for him to sanctify you. Everything is by our precious Lord and Holy Spirit, and nothing is by our own accord. So we thank you, Lord, as we enter yet another portion of our service this morning, dear Lord, and receive the word of God, dear Lord, that we listen with anointed ears, dear Jesus, spiritual ears. Let them open and hear, dear Lord. Let our hearts receive, dear Lord, and let the message go forth, dear Lord, and burn within us, that we may share and meditate on it, dear Lord, learn from it, and slowly begin to transform into the presence that you have called us to. Let your will be done for each of our lives, for our marriages, dear Lord, for our health, dear Lord, for those that we are in contact with, dear Lord. Let us walk and move as you have anointed us to do so. We pray for the pastor this morning, dear Lord. We pray that you speak to his heart, dear Jesus, and allow it to spill over to us, dear Lord, and allow us to pick it up and receive it in Jesus' name. We pray, amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 Ah, like Pastor Ben, I feel the anointing.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord, everybody. How you guys doing?
Yes.
God, it's good to see people here. It's wonderful. I know, huh?
Amen.
There's nobody here, really. Ignore the voices in the background. I don't want to hear nobody saying amen. And singing. We already broke the law. We opened with praise and worship.
Amen.
Because Pelosi's son said we can't sing. All right. Praise the Lord. We're going to look at a very beautiful portion of the scriptures that the Lord has continues to like. I'm going to pour into you everything that's in scripture. Because I don't know if we understand what God is doing. First seven letters of the Hebrew alphabet, Aleph, Bet, Gamel, Delete, Vav, Zion. But the first is God built a house, showed kindness, sent his son, then sent the Holy Spirit and brought salvation and transformed life. Okay? So those are the first seven letters of the Hebrew. Now, I would imagine if you build a house, you are wanting to have a bride. And if you have a bride, you are wanting to have some children. And you want to multiply your house. Like in the old days, not the new days, because everybody just have two or three now. But my mom had 11, right? And so God wants to multiply his house.
Amen.
And multiplying his house took first, he has to have a bride to do that, okay? And the bride has to produce children. And those children are being set for the kingdom of God. So all of us are the offspring of God and the nation of Israel, okay?
Amen.
And so as this whole thing is going, God wanted me to go back and look at the prophecy of Jacob and Jacob's two wives. Because how many of you guys know Jacob had two wives? And if Jacob is a typology of God, that means that God's going to have two wives. No way. We're the only bride. That's it. No. He had a bride before he met you. Okay? And he continually tells the story in scripture so that you know. I mean, even Esther, he had to get rid of the first wife before he could marry Esther. Right? And then him and Esther are the two that rescued Israel. So him and his bride rescued Israel. So it's all basically the same thing, okay? God is always telling you that there's two weddings, there's two brides, and there are children to be had to multiply the kingdom of God, okay? If you've been born again, welcome to the family of God, okay? Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Let's go back to Genesis chapter 29. And some of you who have been through Hebrew class, you know this chapter, but we're not going to spend a lot of time in it because God's like, this is not really the whole story. This is just a portion of it, okay? Because as we go through it, we're going to explain to you that the first children that are born, well, I'm getting ahead of myself, so let's just read, okay? Are you in Genesis chapter 29? Are you in verse 14? Okay. Now, it says, then Laban said to him, you are my own flesh and blood. And he's talking to Jacob. After Jacob had stayed with him for a whole month, Laban said to him, just because you are a relative of mine, should you work for me for nothing? Some of our families would say, yes. It says, tell me what your wages should be. And now Laban had two daughters. The name of the older daughter was Leah, and the name of the younger daughter was Rachel. Leah had soft eyes. If you ever say weak eyes, in the Hebrew is soft. She had soft eyes, but Rachel was lovely in form and beautiful. Jacob was in love with Rachel and said, I'll work, and I'm going to say, well, we'll say it, but and I'll work 7 years in return for your younger daughter, Rachel. So he loved Rachel. Am I right?
Yes.
Laban said, it is better that I give her to you than to some other man. Stay here with me. So Jacob served 7 years to get Rachel. but they seemed like only a few days to him because of his love for her. Then Jacob said to Laban, "Give me my wife. My time is completed, and I want to lie with her." Now, is it legal to work 7 years in Israel?
No.
Is it legal to work 7 days straight in Israel?
No.
How many days can you work?
Six.
You can work 6 days, and the seventh day is a Shabbat. You can agree to work 7 years, but any good Jewish man knows that the seventh year he can't work his field, because that is a time of rest for the field.
Yeah.
So he has already worked his full week and is considered 7 days or 7 years, because he knows under God's rule only 6 days can be worked.
Yeah.
Jacob has agreed to work in this structure of their custom. And now that the end of his work week is done, he's saying, "I've worked for my wife, give me my bride."
Yeah.
Okay? This is a prophecy. Isn't that right, Jacqua? It says, so Laban brought together all the people of the place and gave a feast. But when evening came, he took his daughter Leah and gave her to Jacob, and Jacob lay with her. And Laban gave his servant, girl Zilpah, to his daughter as her maidservant. When morning came, there was Leah. So Jacob said to Laban, what is this you have done to me? I served you for Rachel, didn't I? Why have you deceived me?" Laban replied, "It is not our custom here to give the younger daughter in marriage before the older one." You hear that? Now, we're learning this morning, I know it's not Bible study. What came first, the law or faith?
Faith.
Amen. You're good students. Because Abraham believed by faith, and Moses done come till 400 years later, and 400 years later cannot nullify the original belief in God, which is by faith.
Amen.
So everyone that believes by faith, the same as Abraham did, is considered the older daughter, okay? The church, how have we come into Christ? Did we come into Christ through the law, or do we come into Christ through faith?
Faith.
Through faith. So we are the older daughter. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
So that means the younger daughter, which is Rachel in this portion, but representing Israel, can't get married before we do. Do you understand that?
I love that. Amen.
So we are going to get married first, and then let's look at the rest of this story, okay? It says, let's start in verse 25. When morning came, there was Leah. So Jacob said to Laban, "What is this you have done to me? I served you for Rachel, didn't I? Why have you deceived me?" Laban said, "It is not our custom to give the younger daughter in marriage before the older one. Finish this daughter's bridal week." Wow. So the church gets a bridal week. Okay? Now, a bridal week is a bridal week. It's not a, we're going to give you a bridal half a week. Did he say a bridal half a week?
No.
So forget about the 3.5 year tribulation, like the mid-trib. We're going to get raptured in mid-trib. Because now you're going against scripture, because God said she will have a bridal week, not a bridal half week, right? If we were going to go in mid-trib, God would have said right here, we're going to go in, I'm going to give you a bridal half week.
Right.
But he said a bridal week, okay? So we know that there will be a 1 week celebration. If you read the story of Solomon, he was preparing the food because of a week celebration with his bride. Okay, so it's always the custom that when a Jewish man gets married, there is a full week of celebration. Okay, and so he's promising him, and he's keeping Jewish customs. I love it. Okay, now it says, finish this wife, this daughter's bridal week. Then we will give you the younger one also in return for another 7 years. Wait a minute. I already worked my week. I already worked for her. You tricked me and gave me her. And now you're saying I got to work a whole another week for her, right? Now, listen to what's going on. Jacob doesn't fight against this. He says, okay. And so now he's agreeing to work a whole nother week before he can get, before he has full custody of his second bride. Okay? So now, as of 2017, it was the end of 6,000 years. And it was solidified by the celebration of the Jubilee and the announcing that Jerusalem belongs to the Jews. It stayed in context with scripture. It was the end of the 6,000 years. At the end of that 6,000 years, a wedding was supposed to be planned, and then he was supposed to get his bride, and everything happened, okay? And now, the bride that Jacob gets and the bride that Jesus gets is not going to be Israel, because Israel is the apple of God's eye. God fell in love with Israel from the beginning. He married Israel from the beginning. Okay? Our being moved into this equation is because of God's plan to not only save Israel, but to save the whole world. So now God is saying, I'm going to work an additional 7 years to get my bride, my second bride, okay? But now the first bride is going to come into the kingdom. Now, how many churches are there?
Seven.
Since Christ? Seven, right? I can't name them. Ephesus, you guys know them. Pergamos. Okay, so there are seven churches, and these seven churches represents all of the churches that will exist from the time of Christ till the time of the rapture. Okay? And so all seven of these churches have existed from the time of Christ to the present day. Now, I want to show you something about Leah. Let's read in verse 31. Same chapter, verse 31. Now, watch this. When it says, now, after he works the 7 years, no, here it is. It says, when the Lord saw that Leah was not loved, he opened her womb, but Rachel was barren. So Rachel can't have any children. But it says, Leah becomes pregnant and gave birth to a son. She named him Reuben, okay? For she said, it is because the Lord has seen my misery, surely my husband will love me now. She conceived again, and when she gave birth to a son, she said, because the Lord heard that I am not loved, he gave me this one too. So she named him Simeon. Again she conceived, and when she gave birth to a son, she said, now let my husband, at last my husband will become attached to me because I have borne him a third son or three sons. So he named him Levi. She said, she conceived again. And when she gave birth to a son, she said, this time I will praise the Lord. So she named him Judah. Then she stopped having children. So she has four children, okay? These are her own. Now, they had what they call maidservants. So what Rachel did, since she couldn't have any children, because I'm going to ask you a question. the law. You cannot get saved by keeping the law right now.
Right.
So how many children is the law producing for the kingdom of God?
Four.
Zero. The law is producing no children. Right. The law is producing no children now. You can get somebody to follow the law, but it won't get them saved. Because salvation is through Christ alone, right? And so unless you can get them believe by faith in Christ, they can't be born again and become part of God's family. Okay? But here we are, and she has just had her fourth child. Now, okay, they go through the maidservants, and Rachel starts saying, okay, I'll let my maidservant lay with him, and then she'll have that child, and that'll be me and his child. She's doing the old thing with Abraham, and God is like, okay, we'll count them, but we're not really going to count them, okay? So, if you go up to, let's start in verse 13. Or is it 12? Yes. Yeah, we're going to start in verse 12, okay? It says, Leah's servant Zilpah bore Jacob a son. Then Leah said, how happy I am. The women will call me happy. So she named him Asher, okay? But that wasn't Leah's son, okay? That was her maidservant, okay? Go down to verse 17. I can't go down to verse 17 because you need to know this. It says in verse 14, during the wheat harvest, Reuben went out into the field and found some mandrake plants, which he brought to his mother, Leah. Rachel said to Leah, give me some of your son's mandrakes. But she said to her, wasn't it enough that you took away my husband? Will you take away my son's mandrakes too? Very well, Rachel said. He can sleep with you tonight in return for your son's mandrakes. So Jacob came in from the field that evening. Leah went out to meet with him, and it says, you must sleep with me tonight. She said, I have hired you with my son's mandrakes. So he slept with her that night. I'm gonna stop there. Okay, now mandrakes is like a food that you eat, that aphrodisiac. I was looking for that big word. That's what mandrakes is, okay? And so she figured, you know, if I can use the mandrakes, I can give it to him. And then at that time, maybe then she'll get pregnant, because she's trying to work out her own pregnancy. She's had no children of her own just yet, okay? But listen, who's about to have a fifth child. It said in verse 17, God listened to Leah. She became pregnant and bore Jacob's fifth son. Then Leah said, God rewarded me for giving my servant to my husband, and so she named him Issachar. Leah conceived again and bore Jacob a sixth son. Then Leah said, God has presented me with a precious gift. This time my husband will treat me with honor because I have borne him six sons. So she named him Zebulun. Sometime later, she gave birth to a daughter, and he named her what? Dinah, which means what? Judgment. So, in keeping with the names that God has given them, and I misspelled Reuben, but you know ego's there. Reuben means behold a son. But remember, the scriptures are always talking about who? Jesus. Behold a son. Samuel is the word smai in Israel. It means to hear and it means to obey. If you want to know how to say obey in Israel, smai. If you want to know how to say here in Israel, smile, it's the same thing, okay? So Samuel means hear and obey. Levi means join to my heart, okay? Judah means praise. Issachar means recompense provided. Recompense for what? Sin. Zebulun means exalted to the habitation. Who's going to get exalted up to the habitation? What habitation? Where God is. After we're exalted up to the habitation, then what? Dinah means judgment. So after we leave, even the seven sons' name mean, after we leave and exalted up to the habitation, judgment will come upon the earth. So the children of Leah have to leave before judgment comes. And Leah has seven children. That's why she got married what? First. Because there were how many churches? Seven churches. So she is having many children, but look who's having no children yet. Rachel, who's representing what? The law and the nation of Israel. She later is going to have two sons. One, his name is going to be Joseph. But remember, she doesn't have any children until judgment is born.
Wow.
After judgment, then she gets Joseph, and it says God will add to your children now after judgment. You will get Benjamin, you will get the son of my right hand, but you will not get your few sons until after judgment is born. And Zebulun means the exalted, and the children and her children have been exalted to the habitation. So God is telling you the same thing. There is a pre-tribulation marriage and there's an after-tribulation marriage, okay? So all the foolishness of mid-trib, post-trib, the scriptures and the Hebrew just says, stop with the foolishness. God wrote a plan. This is how the plan is going to happen. So this still means that the church is leaving first and you're still here. And God has already worked his sixth day. There's a wedding. In Israel, there's been no first figs yet. Had to check on that. So I don't think that we understand that God has written one story that he clearly wants us to understand. We are these, all of these children that have been birthed into the kingdom. And God is like, you're going to be exalted into your habitation. So wait on it, okay? Wait on. Now, let's look at this. Watch this. Let's go to 1 Samuel, the book of Samuel. And let's look at this. I'm not a name. I got to name all of them. Don't you hate when they just have a whole bunch of names that you can't pronounce? Like, so it says, there was a certain man. We're in Samuel 1, chapter 1. 1 Samuel 1, verse 1. Chapter 1, verse 1. There was a certain man in Ramathaim, a Zephite from the hill of the country of Ephraim, whose name was Elkanah, son of Jerichum, son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zuf, and Ephraimite. He had two wives. You hear that? One was called Hannah, and the other one, Peninnah, had children, but Hannah had none. So here we go with the same story again. A husband, Elkanah, he has two brides. His one wife is having children and the other one's having none. So is God trying to keep you on focus? Look, the church is going to produce many children into the kingdom of God. But the second wife will not produce children until after what? Judgment. After Dinah, then now In the tribulation, Israel will have her children. She will go through tribulation and she will give birth to her own children. You understand? But for now, only the church is producing children. That's why we witness. That's why we're telling people that Jesus loves you. That's why we're telling people to accept Christ. Because we're helping God produce children for the kingdom. Here we go. I want to, okay, let me tell this story because I don't want to spend a lot of time reading it. Well, anyway, Peninnah, she's having children after children after children after children. Hannah's having no children. So she goes to the temple and she's there and she's praying and she's crying and she's like, everybody's making fun of me. Everybody knows I can't have children. So she prays to God, Lord, if you would just give me a son, just one, I will give him back to you and dedicate him to the temple, and he will serve you in the temple all the rest of his days. Just give me one child. Meanwhile, Peninnah's having kid after kid after kid. And so now her prayer is finally going to be answered. She gets pregnant. And she has this son, and his name is what? Samuel, right? Wait a minute. Nope. This is no. Nope, nope, nope. I know what I'm right, and I know what I'm wrong. Watch this. This is Simeon, but it still means hearing and obeying. I'm thinking of Samuel while I'm getting ahead of myself. Okay? This is Simeon. And if I misspelled it, too bad. So, Simeon, but Simeon still means hear and obey. Okay? So, now she has a son named Samuel. And what does Samuel mean? Hear and obey. So, to be part of God's children, you still get the same name. You got to hear and obey. Okay? So, Samuel is born. And she is very happy. Oh, she's so happy. Here, let's look at this. Let's go to chapter 1, verse 24. Chapter 1, verse 24.
15.
It says, no way. It says, after he was weaned, she took the boy with her, young as he was, along with the three-year-old bull, an ephod of flour and a skin of wine, and brought him to the house of the Lord in Shiloh. When they had slaughtered the bull, they brought the boy to Eli, and she said to him, as surely as you live, my Lord, I am the woman who stood here beside you praying to the Lord. I prayed for this child, and the Lord has granted me what I asked for. So now I give him to the Lord for his whole life. He will be given over to the Lord, and he worshiped the Lord there. Praise God.
Amen.
So she gives him over. Now, if you read chapter 2, how many of yours chapter 2 says Hannah's prayer? Now, who wrote the Bible? All the words in it are responsible from who?
God.
Okay, there's no church yet, but listen to Hannah's prayer. Hannah prayed and said, my heart rejoice in the Lord. In the Lord, my horn is lifted high. My mouth boasts over my enemies, for I delight in your deliverance. There is no one holy like the Lord. There is no one beside you. There is no rock like our rock. Rock is Jesus,
yes.
But we won't go over that right now. She don't know what she's writing. Just remember that. Do not keep talking so proudly. Let your mouth speak such arrogance. For the Lord is a God who knows, and by him deeds are weighed. The bows of the warriors are broken, and those who stumble
are armed with strength. Those who were filled hired themselves out for food, but those who are hungry are hungry no more. She was barren. She who was barren has borne 7 children, but she has many sons. Pines away. Now, listen to this. She says in her prayer, she who was barren has had 7 children. How many children did she have? What is she talking about? She has one now. She has Samuel. But in her prayer, she's thanking God for I had 7 children. When did she give birth to 7 children? So who's talking, her or God?
God is talking.
God's like, I'm talking to you about the future. Because actually, Israel, and since you are the bride that birthed few children, Israel is going to birth 7 children. But here is Hannah giving praise to God for having 7 children. God's like, you haven't had 7 children, but it's a future prophecy. Okay? So, let's go to Isaiah 66. Verse 7 and 8. Now, I'm going to read it the way that if God wasn't such a great poet, he would have just wrote it plain. Before judgment comes upon her, she gives birth. Before the tribulation, she delivered a son. That's basically what it's saying.
Yeah.
Okay? But what does it say? Before she goes into labor, who? Israel. She gives birth. Before the pain comes upon her, she delivers a son. Who has ever heard of such a thing? Can a woman give birth before she goes into labor? We're not talking modern day medicine. We're talking about many years ago. Before she goes into labor, can she give birth? So that means the tribulation has to come before she gives birth.
Right.
But he's saying, no, Israel is going to give birth before tribulation. But who's she going to give birth to? Sure. 7 children. And that 7 children is the church. So the first marriage and the first children birthed into the kingdom is the church. And God is always telling you the exact same thing so that you know this is about birthing children. Israel is not birthing children right now, but they are going to birth children. It's not their time. Peninnah, you continue having your children. Leah, continue having your children. But Israel, in the tribulation, don't worry, she's going to have her children as well. But now it's our turn. That's why we witness. Okay, let's go to Revelation chapter 12. This was the whole, and I'm still praying for Scotty, because that can be heartbreaking.
Yeah.
When God gives you something and you begin to believe you're a prophet and not a watchman, you think that it all happens, has to happen the way you say, but God is giving you a clue. It is the honor or the glory of God to hide a matter. It is the honor of kings to search it out, okay? We're searching out the matter, okay? And so if you don't know and you think you're a prophet and not a watchman and it don't come true, it could break your heart. That was my problem in 2010. My heart was broken. Why? Because I thought I was a prophet. Like, no, you're a watchman. You're just giving signs that the thing is coming. But you, nobody's telling you. I haven't even told the angels. I'm not telling you, but I'll give you some hints so you can keep my people ready, right? So I'm giving you hints, but I'm just showing you time after time, God is saying, be ready. There is an escape before the tribulation. There is another escape at the end for those that come out of the tribulation and a protection over the nation of Israel. But for you, there is an escape before a tribulation starts. That means God, I should have read
her whole prayer, because it said God is watching out for his saints. God is watching out for his saints. God is looking over his people. So that means that while you're here, no matter what's going on, you have the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, power of all powers, watching out over the saints. Okay? So whenever you see on YouTube or on TV, stop watching your enemy prepare for your demise, because he don't know your daddy got a gun, right? Because he has no idea. He's thinking about all the glorious things he's going to do to the church. First, we'll cancel church services. And after we cancel church services, then we'll go in and we'll start making them take the vaccine. And then you ain't going to do nothing. God is watching over his church, okay? So I'm keeping my eye on whose plan?
God's
plan. If you keep your mind stayed on Jesus, he will keep you in what?
Perfect
peace. You don't have to send me a video of all the evil things that's going on. I don't need to see it, because I'm not concerned with watching the enemy plan my demise.
Mm-hmm.
Because first of all, I know as soon as he walks through the door, daddy got a gun.
Right.
Come on in, boom. Told you, right? I'm not worried. Okay, and we have to have faith in God and not in the system or what the enemy's doing. Okay,
amen.
Revelation chapter 12. Ooh, Pastor Ben, good. That's good. It says, a great and wondrous sign appeared in heaven. A woman clothed in the sun, with the moon under her feet, and the crown of 12 stars over her head. That's amazing. That only happened one other time other than 2017, and that was at the birth of Christ, that it had 12 stars. It usually has 9. Every year it has 9. But only twice in over 2,000 years has it had 12 stars. Okay? So, it says, she gave birth. She was pregnant and cried out in pain as she was about to give birth. Okay, then another sign appeared in heaven, an enormous red dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns on his head. The tail swept a third of the stars out of the sky and flung them to the earth. The dragon stood in front of the woman who was about to give birth so that he might devour her child the moment it was born. She gave birth to a son. A male child who will rule over the nations with an iron scepter. And her child was raptured up to God and to the throne. Did Jesus get raptured up?
No.
You better check the words, because Jesus ascended himself. You know why he snatched Jesus up to heaven? Jesus ascended. So who is this child that's getting snatched up to heaven? It's a double prophecy. God saying, look, Israel is going to birth a child out of the world. Not into the world. Israel is going to birth a child out of the world. And what did Hannah say? Bless you, Lord, you have given me 7 children. Before any tribulation came, you have given me 7 children. Hannah, you know you ain't had 7 children. Why you say that? Because God is prophesying that a birth of a single son is really what they're talking about, is that son that's being birthed out of the earth is going to be 7 children. Who are they? Every born again believer since Christ.
Amen.
And so God is going to multiply the family in heaven once again. Okay?
Hallelujah.
Last scripture, Pastor Ben.
Yes, sir.
And we're going to be in Psalms, chapter 127, because if everything goes right, and there is a rapture in 2020, then 2027 will be the return of Christ, which he mentions in 2026, Psalms 126, when he says, He that was weeping and carrying the seeds away will also return with the sheaves that he took to the earth. Do you understand that? So the harvest he took with him, he says he's coming back with them. Okay? Now, in 27, that means that the children of God, the children he took, are already going to be in heaven before 2026, 2027. Mm-hmm. But because he's saying, the sheaves that I took into heaven, he's saying in Psalms 126, I'm going to return with the sheaves, mm-hmm. okay, with the bundles. Mm-hmm. Now, in 27, it says, unless the Lord build the house, its builder labors in vain, because they're going to tear down that temple that the Antichrist is going to build.
Yeah.
Okay. Unless the Lord watch over the city, the watchman stands guard in vain. In vain, you rise up early and stay up late, toil for food to eat, for he grants sleep to those he loves. Praise God. Sons are a heritage from the Lord, children, a reward from him. God is talking about having kids in what, 2027? Sons are a heritage from the Lord, children, a reward from him. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the sons born in one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is filled with who? Them, the children. God's talking about birthing children. At the end of the tribulation, he's going to birth more children, because he's going to birth people out of the tribulation who have died in faith, keeping the confession of Jesus, even at the threat of death, because when they're beheading them, it says in chapter 20 that there are many who have been beheaded because of the testimony of Jesus in the tribulation. That's some strong faith. That is some strong faith. But when you see a whole group of people disappear from the earth, and you see an Antichrist rise up, and you see all the craziness that's going on in the world, it's going to give them strength to say, you know what? God is real. Mm. This is more than about this body. We got to go where they went. I'll stand in line now. Chop my head off, because I know where I'm going. Jesus! Where's it at, right? Because they will have that boldness because of what they have seen. But the thing is, you don't have to go through that, especially a Gentile or a Jew at the time. You don't have to go through that. You can become part of the children, of the seven children that are leaving before the tribulation or the labor begins. And that is the invitation to not only Gentiles, but to Jews, to accept Christ and leave first. You don't have to wait till the end of the tribulation. That's the end of the message today. I wanted to make clearly what God has shown me. There are two escapes out of here. The first one is in peace. The first one, you stand on a sea of glass in heaven at peace. The second one, you stand on a sea of fire, a glass sea, but it has fire mingled in it, because you've come out of the great tribulation. You don't have to come out of the great tribulation. You can go before there's any labor pains. And that's the invitation. By faith in Jesus Christ, you can accept him and become part of the first bride, and not the second. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.